It's my privilege this morning to be able to look into the scripture and to continue the teaching theme that we've been talking about, that the cross changes everything. And this morning, I'd ask you to open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John, John chapter 19, and we're going to read two verses together. That's verse 28 to verse 30. And it's reference to the death of Jesus. Later, knowing that everything had been done to fulfill the scripture, Jesus said these words, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked it on a sponge. They placed the sponge onto a stalk, and then they lifted that up to Jesus' lips. When he'd received the drink, he then said these words, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. This morning, I'd like to focus for a few moments on those words, "I'm thirsty." In the context of this wonderful story, we see that Jesus expresses his humanity, thirst, but also we see that he expresses his divinity, because he was not just mere man, he was also the Son of God. And throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus shows his humanity. There were times when he got hungry. There were times when he grew tired and needed to sleep. And there were times when he was tempted. The Bible tells me that he was tempted in every way that you and I are also tempted. But he didn't submit to that temptation. He overcame that temptation. And also I see from Scripture that Jesus wept over an individual, but also wept over a city. As I was just thinking about the humanity of Jesus, I recalled a song which we used to sing when I was growing up, and it simply says this: "You laid aside your majesty, you gave up everything for me, you suffered at the hands of those you had created, you took away my guilt and shame, when you died and you rose again. Now today you reign, and I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have won my heart, and I am yours. You are the only one who died for me, gave your life to set me free. So I lift my voice in adoration to you." Aren't you glad this morning that we serve a God who sent his Son to die upon a cross for every one of us, so we could know what it is to have this eternal life? In the book of the Philippians, we see that there's a wonderful description there of how Jesus himself laid down his status, laid down his rights, and took on the very nature and form of a man. So we see Jesus, the Son of God, but we also see Jesus, the Son of Man, through humanity. And then he said these words, "I am thirsty." I'd like to just focus for a few moments on those words, "I am thirsty." On the last day of the great feast, Jesus stands up in the vast crowd and he says these, which is recorded in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 38. On the last day of the great festival, Jesus stood up and with a loud voice he said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow out from within them." Every one of us thirsts for something in life. There are those who thirst for fame. There are those that thirst for fortune. Others thirst for popularity, wanting to be accepted. Others thirst for position, knowledge, freedom, acceptance. And many thirst for a sense of belonging. The question this morning is, what do you thirst for? And what do I thirst for? Another story recorded in the Gospel again, we see that Jesus is sat at the well, and a woman comes to that well. She was carrying jars and she was carrying pots to collect the water. And we see that Jesus engages in conversation with her, and we see that out of a conversation that they have, this lady gets a revelation of who he is. And Jesus says to her, "If you drink of this water," referring to the well, "you will thirst again. But if you drink from the water that I can supply for you, you will never thirst, and you'll know what it is to have eternal life." And then he begins to paint a picture of her life. He tells her to go back and to tell her husband, and she then talks to him, and then Jesus says to him, "Actually, the man you're living with is not your husband, and you've already had five husbands." And this lady gets a revelation of who Jesus is because Jesus knows everything about her. And then she goes back to her town and she becomes an evangelist. She shares her story and she says, I've met a man who knew everything about me. And it says that the town folk came out to where Jesus was and they followed Jesus because of the lady's testimony. The interesting thing was this, that she went to the well thirsty, carrying jars, but she abandoned her jars at the well. We see that she left them there because, you see, she was satisfied, not through the natural water, but satisfied through what Jesus had done for her life. I'd like to explain for a few moments this morning that there is a currency. It's called the currency of heaven. We deal in sterling and pounds. If you were to travel to Europe, you'd deal with the euro. If you went to a different country, it may be the dollar, it may be another form of currency. But there is a currency of the kingdom that I want to encourage you to begin to trade in. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6 says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. And the currency of the kingdom is simply this, that you can come with your hunger and you can come with your thirst and you can exchange it for the things that God has for you. Isaiah chapter 61 is a fantastic verse, also quoted when Jesus took up the scroll in the synagogue, recorded there in the Gospel of Luke. And we see that there is a currency talked about in those few verses. The currency is this, it's good news to the poor. The currency is healing for the brokenhearted, freedom for the captive, and a release of darkness for the prisoner. The currency is that there's favor, a year of God's favor upon the individual's life. There's comfort for those who mourn, and there's a crown of beauty instead of ashes. There's joy instead of sadness, and there's praise instead of despair. I'd like to prophesy over this house, over our community, over our nation. The currency of heaven is that we hunger and thirst for more of God. And once we begin to do that, we then begin to exchange that God wants to rebuild us, wants to restore us, and wants to renew us. So in 2020, today, on this Sunday, I want to just encourage you that God wants to rebuild you, wants to restore you, and wants to renew you. I'm thirsty, Jesus said. As we look across society and community today, we have men and women, boys and girls, families, young and old, from different walks of life, who are thirsty and hungry. They're thirsty and hungry naturally because of a lack of supply and a lack of resource. What a wonderful opportunity we have as local church, as Christ followers, men and women, boys and girls who love Jesus with a passion, to become part of the solution to a problem. We have a community that needs water and needs food. We have a community that are needing clothes and need help. For some, need a visit. And that visitor could be you, could be me. There's a wonderful story in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 to 40, when the king begins to have a conversation with his subjects, the righteous. And the king replies, when you gave food to the hungry, you were giving to me. When you were giving water to them, you were also giving to me. And the king says, when you did it to the least, you did it for me. We're living in a time where there's a divine opportunity for us as church to do the king's business. There's a divine responsibility and also a divine privilege that we carry today. John chapter 1 verse 14 reads like this, and I'm coming to a conclusion so you can then go and put the kettle on. It talks about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Word became flesh. And I love the interpretation of this from the Message translation, that the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus was thirsty. We are thirsty. And our thirst can only be satisfied through what Jesus has done for us upon the cross. Our community thirsts and hungers currently And we can become part of the solution to that as we become the flesh and the blood that moves into the neighborhood and is determined to make a difference. You see, we don't just go to church, we are the church. And currently the church is not gathered in one building, but the church is scattered across the community. It's gathering in different settings, and we can become the solution to many people's problems. I was fascinated when I listened to the Chancellor of our Exchequer as he was beginning to just talk some stuff through, and this was a statement he said: "Now more than at any time in our history, we will be judged by our capacity for compassion. When this is over, it will be over. We will look back on this moment and remember the many small acts of kindness done by us and to us." So my prayer today is, as Jesus cried out, "I am thirsty," as we cry out and see that our thirst can be satisfied by the Savior who died upon the cross for us, as our community cries out in hunger and thirst, we can be the solution to that and be part of the answer to their problems. We're going to pray as we just begin to conclude this time together. Father, we thank you that we have this divine opportunity to serve you above and beyond the norm. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, you'd enhance us. I pray, God, that you'd equip us to be the best example that we could possibly be. I thank you, Lord, that you've stepped into my life, changing my life, so now that I can step into other people's lives to change their lives also. Father, I commit this time to you in your wonderful name. Amen.